Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The Men's Room podcast from TalkSport is proudly sponsored by Toolstation. If, like me, you love a little deal, then you can join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store or via the app, and you will save some money getting a 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, as well as a chance to get your hands on some fantastic prizes, such as TVs, gaming consoles, and even holidays. If you keep spending, you'll keep on saving. That's the Toolstation Club. So make sure you join today, online, in-store, or via the app. A Bosch.
Welcome everyone to another episode of the Men's Room Podcast. Adi Oladipo, Rory Jennings, very, very special guest in the building with us as well. Special guest for me as well because I'm a Liverpool fan. And this guy played for Liverpool, Mr. Neil Razor Ruddock.
How are we doing?
How are you, sir?
How are you?
Not bad, can't complain.
So do you support?
I'm a Chelsea fan.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if you could do that as a Millwall fan. Can you do that to a Chelsea fan as a Millwall fan?
What, laugh?
Yeah,
we can at the minute because Millwall, we're meant to be rubbish. You're meant to be good.
I suppose there is an element of truth in that.
You know, to be fair, all my life I wanted Millwall to play like Chelsea and Chelsea playing like us.
No, where'd you grow up?
I grew up in South London in Wandsworth, born in Wandsworth. Battersea, but I moved to Ashford in Kent when my dad's company, Stuart Fraser's, with a metalwork company. I've got crisps. I've just ate a bag of crisps.
We can confirm he has just battered a bag of crisps in about a minute.
So, my dad's company, a metalwork company, they moved to Ashford in Kent, and the workforce moved down. So all my friends as kids sort of, we all moved down there. So,
what was growing up like?
It was good. Two big brothers. As I say, Millwall fans. I can't remember choosing Millwall. I don't think you would if you had the choice. But dad was a Fulham fan. Brothers were Millwall, so I was told I was Millwall. But my dad, God bless him, he's long gone now. Dad Ted, he was a Fulham fan and lived in, you know, York Road, Battersea. And the closest ground to him was actually Stamford Bridge, Chelsea. So my dad used to follow me everywhere, around the country, abroad, Europe, everywhere. But when we played at Chelsea, closest to him and his dad, they wouldn't come and watch me there because Fulham weren't playing there.
Wow.
That was a mentality. Still wouldn't go there. They'd go everywhere. They'd go like Newcastle, Borough, they'd go abroad. But when I was playing at Stamford Bridge for another team, my dad and granddad wouldn't go there because Fulham weren't there.
Just on principle. Dislike Chelsea so much, yeah.
But then my mum told me as a kid he used to go to Fulham one week and Chelsea the other. So
some people did that. I think there was a time when Chelsea and Fulham had a sort of sibling relationship, like Chelsea fans used to go. But then I've got a couple of my mates QPR fans. I offered one of them a chance to play at Stamford Bridge. Like I had an opportunity. So I'm not doing that. Like he loves playing football, playing on the same team. QPR fan wouldn't dream of it simply because QPR weren't playing it. I quite like that tribalism. Ridiculous.
There's got to be tribalism in football.
My dad always said that Chelsea are just a little team in Fulham.
He'd be wrong.
Which is true now. Yeah. Did Fulham beat him in the league?
Fulham beats in the league, yes. Yeah. Fulham, I mean, they had a very good season.
So basically, Chelsea are a little team in Fulham.
I think every London club had a better season than Fulham. Like Chelsea finished above West Ham, but they obviously won a European trophy. So
every London club had a better season.
Every London club had a better season. Yeah.
Even Leighton Orient.
even Orient. Me and Rory always talk, obviously, you played football in the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah.
We always talk about that's almost the last two decades as to when fans could relate to footballers.
Yeah,
I mean, you could have a conversation with footballers.
We used to, even when I was at Tottenham, we used to go out in the pub and we used to have. Rifles is up the road. There was a pub on the main thing. There was a nightclub there. I can't remember what that was called, but you had the corner pin, wherever it was called. Mm. So after the game, you know, the players' hands used to finish, you know, an hour after the game. Then we used to go into the
What, would you go in a corner pin after playing?
All day long, yeah.
Really?
Hell.
Yeah. This
was walking past that pub as an away fan, as a Chelsea fan, going past the corner pin. I think it's changed now. It's become like a bit of a hipster pub.
Yeah.
But when it was the corner pin, terrible.
Yeah, no, we used to go in there.
Like, frightening.
Terrible.
Yeah.
See, I remember we drew 4-all. Like, Joe Cole had the game of his life. And it was a night game. He came out. Avram Grant was manager that year. Just terrible. Like, as you had to, because to come out of the away end, you had to walk past that pub. It's the only time that you ever, maybe going there, going to West Ham, that you ever think, this is it. This is it.
Law of averages saying it's going to happen one day.
Yeah. And also, law of averages, when you're built like me, law of averages, when it does happen, you're getting done.
I'd always be the one at the back filming 300 yards away. No, we used to go there. And then Liverpool, used to go, we'll run Liverpool with the fans. Unless we lost. We didn't lose very often, but if we lost, you spoil your night out. But we used to. But we knew everyone. Mm-hmm. You knew them. So, we weren't like, if a footballer walked into a local pub now, it'd be like, everyone just treat you as normal. And,
I think the era that you're talking about here is what I consider to be the perfect era of football. I think it's modern enough, this like late 90s period, right? It's modern enough to be safe and stadiums were elevated a bit and football was better. But it was also still relatable. It was still football. It was still affordable. The players were still...
When 1993, I signed for Liverpool and it was £9 the cop. Yeah. £9 to go on the cop.
What? Yeah.
Because that's what I remember, because it was all tickets. Because your mates think, I'm coming up, and all my mates from London used to come. They used to think, we used to get 4 tickets. You'd have like 10 mates want to come. Mm. So I used to think, I used to put them on the cop. It was only £9.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It was £9 with like £24 or £20 in the main stand. Well, I ain't paying that. But yeah, it was only £9. So it wasn't fun. And I think them days as well, like music, fashion, and football.
All went hand in hand.
They all went hand in hand, didn't they? Yeah. Music, fashion, football. You know, everyone could relate to. I mean, you knew everyone back then. You knew everyone because everyone could afford to come. They could afford to bring their kids now. You know, you go to stadiums now. You can't afford it.
A family can't afford it. It's
getting there. It's you know, the kids all want a football hamburger, didn't they? Or a football pie. You know, I don't have the programmes. I don't buy programmes anymore. The programmes, I bet they're a fortune. Yeah. They're magazines now, aren't they?
Yeah.
So, yeah, every kid wanted their own magazine, didn't they? Mm-hmm. Programme. You know, they wanted to have a drink and a Bovril. So I mean, it must be
a fortune. It's amazing, isn't it? Like, you know, when I think back to that era, like, Chelsea used to train at Harlington. And I remember going there. Like, my dad would drive the cab down there. And, like, you know, like, really good footballers, Rud Hullett, Mark Hughes, they'd be there. Like, I remember Dennis Wise once sending me to get the ball. You know, like, the ball had gone a little bit of a distance. He's like, off you go. And I ran and got the ball. Like, I was over the moon, obviously. I think he's going to spot me. You know, now, when you think about how good the players are that I just said there, all top-level footballers, you know, now at Chelsea, all over the recent years at Chelsea, some very, like, distinctly average players. Cucurella's there now. Timo Werner was there a couple of years ago. Like, terrible footballers. You couldn't get near them.
No.
Like, I couldn't, like, they would be seen as being superstars, paid to a level that makes them superstars. And yet, I was next to Rud Hullett as a kid. Yeah. Rud Hullett ever won a Ballon d'Or?
Yeah, like Tottenham, West Ham, Liverpool, it was always open. It was always open. The gates were open and the fans used to sit there, stand behind the rope, obviously, but we always used to train in front of them and, you know.
When you were playing, obviously, especially towards the back end, obviously the drinking culture is still big.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a normal thing, right? You have a drink after a football match. Was you planned at the end of your career where it started to phase away as well?
No, it was still... When I played, it was the older players used to tell me, basically, influence us what we were doing. You know, if the older players wanted to have a drink, you had to go out and have a drink. You know, we're out. Say we play Tuesday night, we're out after the game. Everyone had to show up. I mean, if you didn't show up, you had to show up. You had a drink. You know, if you didn't want to have a drink, you had to get home. The missus would say you're not allowed out, whatever. As long as you showed your face, that was fine. If you didn't show your face, then you was in for it the next day. In training, but they influenced us. You know, we're having a day out, we're out. So, you know, nowadays, and I was still the older. When I got old, when I got to the West Ham, now I was the older player that used to make the young players. Yeah. You know, you think we had when I started West Ham, we had Ferdinand, Lampard, Joey Cole, Carrick.
Bloody hell!
Great team.
Defoe.
Yeah.
Joey Cole. You had all these youngsters. I was the one that come on, we're out. Yeah. You know. as well as older players around us. So I was still that older player. I think he phased out after me. See, it owned to me. Liverpool won 2005, was it, Istanbul?
Yeah.
I see a picture. I think it was on the, I don't know if it was a picture in the papers or I see it on the news or Sky Sports, but they showed them on the airplane. They had the European Cup, Champions League Cup, and they was all drinking bottles of water. I think, oh my God.
Yeah.
Changed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's changed.
Oh, we'd have had Robbie Fowler in that thing. We'd have been I would have been full up, you know, with champagne, whatever. And I think that has changed. And I think, I don't know what year it would have changed. I retired 95.
Wenger, yeah, maybe when Wenger came, that was
95.
A big one.
No, I didn't retire in 95. When did I retire? I can't remember. I've just been...
Yeah.
95, was it?
That was around
98. No, 2000.
It was late, much later.
Yeah, it was late, early 2000s. Mm. I left West Ham 98. Palace, yeah. So about 2000, 2001, saying that I retired. And the drinking culture was still then. So I think...
Changed Great. After that.
Yeah,
I think it was gradually.
When I retired,
yeah,
that was the end of it. I think I was sort of the my sort of era. Yeah. So I'm 55. So 20 years ago, wasn't it? I think it all.
So that that was a sort of changing of the generation because I think there's that story, isn't there, with the when the influx of French players went into Arsenal.
Yeah.
I think there's a very funny story where I think the English players were all just like looking at the French players, thinking they're never going to be ready for a game. Like they're not professional. Well, they're all smoking.
I remember Di Canio, when we was at West Ham, we was massive. You know, we was great atmosphere at West Ham. We come fifth twice. I mean, we had a great atmosphere there. Older and young players. Harry got it right, the mixture. I say we come, we had me, Di Canio. We had all these young players I was smoking about. Then you've got older players like Di Canio, Stuart Pearce, Winterburn. Myself.
Trevor Sinclair.
Trevor. And then up front, big Johnny Artson.
Yeah.
Ian Wright.
Crazy back then, wasn't
so,
it, Johnny?
So, mate, we had a great mixture. You know, so we used to go out all the time.
Yeah.
But then I think when me and Wrighty left, I left, I think that was, early 2000s, I think. That's
when it changed.
When Wenger came in Arsenal, that was late 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I think, but Parlo, same Parlo at West Ham, he was like, couldn't believe how much we drunk.
And really?
Yeah, he was like, you're like crazy.
Really?
Do you know what I mean?
Did you used to pack it in before a gate? Like, was there?
Oh yeah, it was 2 days before. There was no, without a shadow of a doubt. You know, people think we weren't professional. We were professional. We didn't.
Yeah.
We didn't have what they have now. We didn't have the, you know, we didn't have the science. We didn't have the education. When I signed for Liverpool in 1993, we didn't have a physio.
Really?
What?
One of the greatest teams in the world did not have a physiotherapist until 6 months. I was the dearest defender in the world, £2.5 million. I was the dearest defender in the world. And I had a bad knee. I had a bad knee, and they've got this new ultrasound. Ronnie Moran, God bless him, one of the greatest coaches. He's dead now, legend at Liverpool, Ronnie Moran. One of the legends there. And he used to do the physio. He used to give you ice. You know, if you're injured, you don't play. You had less injuries back then. So I had a problem with my knees. So they got a new ultrasound machine. And this ultrasound, they turn it on. You can't feel anything.
Yeah.
So you put the ultrasound to my knee. You meant to put some gel on it. They didn't have none. So he went in the kitchen and got some fairy liquid. No, that fairy liquid. And put that on the ultrasound machine on my knee. The dearest defender in the world.
Really?
I was like, I don't.
God, this changed so much.
And if you get, like, the doctor used to come in Thursday afternoon. So if you got injured Friday, that was it. He was out for a week, just ice it, that's all he had.
It's mental.
And six months in, he got physio. But that is how football changed.
God.
Would you miss more, playing football, the camaraderie with the footballers?
Winning matches. You miss winning matches, but you miss the lads, you know. You miss going in, you've got 40 lads every day and just taking a mickey out of each other. It was heaven. You miss winning.
Yeah.
You know, you miss that buzz and that feeling of, you know, the cheer and walking off, and you know, still next day you wake up and watch, you know, match of the day highlights, or you know, the big match, whatever was on the next day, and see what you got in the paper, what mark you got.
Remember they used to give that, didn't they? Oh, didn't they? Sevens, didn't they?
Well, I used to get, I thought my name was Ruddocks, but it was Ruddock 5 every week. Just spelled my name again. Now that's me, Mark Ruddock 5.
Do you know that Liverpool side that you were part of? That's a class team, wasn't it? Really good players.
Yeah, it was great.
Do you look back on that team and think could have won the league that year?
Well, we should have won it. It was like the Brendan Rodgers the other year when they messed up, three games left. We should have won it, but you know, there was no Champions League then. It was only Champions. We was always playing the UEFA Cup, you know. But we'd come third or fourth, and we were failures back then.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? They weren't good enough back then. Third and fourth, we used to get hammered for coming third or fourth. But you spent your UEFA Cup, and I mean, that was great competition. Ronaldinho
playing. Great teams in there.
Mate, used to play against PSGs and the Bayern Munichs and Fiorentinas, Romas, and, you know, that was all in that competition. That was a proper...
Because you wouldn't have known. Like, you know, now we have the accessibility. So so you would know... Now you can basically know every single thing about every single player on the opposition. Yeah. You know then. Mate, you wouldn't have known, would you?
PSG. Remember playing PSG and Roy Evans and Gaffer said they've just signed a Brazilian lad called Ronaldinho. I went, no, don't worry about him. I'll look after him. And when I see him, I see this long-haired, goofy lad walk out, right, about 5'9". I thought, don't worry about him. Look at him. What's he going to do? Wow, he gave me twisted blood. Him, I'm ready. Lots to know. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah. Really, was he? If you think back over your entire career, would he be the best player that you played against?
I only played against him like two games. Skilacci. I've been in Skilacci over games.
Dr. Skilacci.
Jean-Pierre Papin, Bayern Munich. Yeah. I mean, these players. Quality
the kids
players,
won't know
I think
names.
Over a long period, over like sort of 15 years top flight, I think there's three like Shearer's close behind. You've got the Shearer's and all these people, but I think Cantona, Bergkamp, Zola.
Really?
Because I used to love Shearer's. Shearer's, you know, my best friend in football, so I mean, we grew up in Southampton, so I knew him.
Yeah.
So I knew what he was all about. So, you know, for some reason, when you play against your mates, two things you want to do when you play against your mate is beat him and hurt him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Whatever level you play. Maybe if you're playing ping pong against your mate, Paul, when you play your mate, this is your World Cup final. Yeah. Don't care about anyone else. Don't matter if you're playing someone for 50 quid or your mate for nothing, I want to beat my mate more.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So when it comes to you, and I played against those and he only scored once against me. And all the times I played, he scored once. I was at St. James with a bit Sir Les Ferdinand out jumping, smashed me in the back. I went flying, it hit the bar. When I landed on the line and he ran in and smashed it in sheer and ran off with a stupid celebration.
I do like that celebration.
I mean, Cantona, Bergkamp, Zola, them three. I mean, I like when I played against Shearer. Shearer was so clever. If the ball was going down the line, say it's going down the right wing, I'm running back towards my own goal. The ball's down the line, I'm on the halfway and I've got Shearer, so I'm running back to my own goal. Shearer's here. As soon as I looked to me away, that's when Shearer would go. He wouldn't look at the ball, he'd look at the defender.
Yeah.
As soon as the defender took your eyes off him, he'd just come round.
Yeah,
he was so clever at doing that. But like Cantona, Bergkamp, Zola, I'm sure. Like if you played against Lineker, Lineker went long to come short. Thierry Henry, don't let him turn, get two men around him. Every time he's got the ball, make sure there's two men blocking so he can't turn and get a run on you. But I'm sure with Cantona, Bergkamp, Zola, when the ball was coming to him, I'm sure they didn't know what they was going to do with it. So what chance I got?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They were just so instinctive and just dumb things when they split second. Like the goal he scored against Leicester, was it? Bergkamp, or was it Newcastle?
Newcastle. Nikos Stavridis.
He didn't know what he was going to do with it until it came and he just done it.
Yeah.
What chance the defender got?
No chance.
But normally, centre forward drops his shoulder, that means he's going to go that way.
Yeah, yeah.
He drops his shoulder, going to go. He's coming back to go that way. He goes that way. So you know what they're going to do. Them three, mate, I'm sure they didn't have a clue what they was going to do with it. And then you got no chance to defend them. But over a period of time, them three were... Oh.
How difficult is it when you know it is coming to the end? Well, you know your legs
I couldn't wait, to be fair, mate.
Really?
Yeah. When you get 33, 34, you couldn't do what you could do.
Mm.
And it hurts. It become... I knew it was when I was about 33. I left West Ham, went to Palace. I knew then, because I was getting up, going to work. I weren't getting up, going training.
No.
Yeah. I said, yeah, I've got to go training tomorrow. And I was thinking, I've got to go work. And when it comes
to that,
it's only words.
Yeah.
But mentally, I've got to go work. And everything hurt. You couldn't do what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
You couldn't jump as high. You couldn't run. You couldn't, you know, ice your knees after. You know, I've got arthritis in both knees now. But, you know, you still go for it. But 33, I just couldn't wait to get to 35 just to hang.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Men's Room podcast on TalkSport is proudly sponsored by Toolstation. This is your little reminder that you can join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store, or via the app. You might be thinking, why would I sign up? But I'm glad you asked. At Toolstation, if you keep spending, you keep on saving. Signing up means that not only will you get a lovely 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, but there are thousands of prizes to be won. So that's the Toolstation Club, so make sure you join today online, in-store, or via the app.
Come up.
Would you have done the MLS and the Chinese League and the Saudi Arabia? Would you have
Saturday.
Done that?
I've done Saturday. Do you think I'd be speaking to you two, Saturday? If I'd gone to Saturday. No, I'd love to America. I mean, at that age, I went to Palace in my career, and I went to Swindon. You know, so I wanted to get in coaching, but I didn't enjoy that, so I got out of that quick. But if America was available, I'd definitely gone to America, because what a life for your wife and kids. Because this is the thing about Harry Kane at the moment, okay?
Oh, interesting.
He's 30. You've got to think about your wife and kids. When I was at Liverpool, I had 3 years left at Liverpool. But if I'd have stayed at Liverpool for them 3 years, I'd have lived in that area. Mm. You know, my wife was from Forest Gate, East London girl.
Forest Gate. I'm yeah, Stratford boy.
So yeah, she's, yeah, so close, she's, yeah. You know how tough she was. But the thing about it, I'd have stayed. My kids were at that age. If I'd have stayed another 3 years, I'd have had to leave them in school. So I'd have had to stay in the area. You know, so it was right time for me to go to West Ham. Yeah. Now Harry Kane's got babies. I think his wife's pregnant now.
Yeah.
He's got two babies. I think he's got two kids, as in one on the way. He's got one and two or twins, two, whatever it is. Yeah. So he's got to make a decision now for his wife. They've got a lovely house. I bet they've got a lovely community where they live. She's got all her friends. Her mum's close by to help her with the babies. Is he going to go abroad to take his wife and kids away from them, their grandparents and their sisters and brothers? If he was 10 years younger, go anywhere in the world. But I think now, and the thing about Harry Kane is, I don't know why we got into Harry Kane.
No, it's interesting.
The thing about Harry Kane as well now, people say he's got to move to win things, but Harry Kane's winning things on his own. He's won the Golden Boot. He's England's top goal scorer. He's Tottenham's greatest goal scorer. Next thing is Premiership goal scorer. That might be good enough for Harry Kane.
But you know,
he's winning things on his own. Tottenham, mate. Do you know, he's winning things on his own. But I'm saying that might be good enough for him.
It might be.
But Neil, you know, when you get to your age and you look back on your career, do you not think that a player like Harry Kane, his legacy, do you not think it would be slightly underwhelming if a player of his quality ends up with a Premier League record or a Tottenham record or an England record? Do you not think a player like him, the ability of the player is a Ballon d'Or winner. The ability of the player is a European Cup winner.
All I know, if he stays Tottenham, don't win anything, in 10 years' time, people say me Harry Kane, I go, what a goal scorer he was, by the way.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, I wouldn't think, he won the FA Cup medal.
It's true. It doesn't
take, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, you're right. It doesn't take anything away from that. Even when, obviously, different levels, but Matt Le Tissier.
Wow,
he could have done that move, and we still wax lyrical about Matt Le Tissier, don't we?
A player.
Even 30 years later, we're like, oh, Matt Le Tissier.
Shearer won the Premier League, didn't he? Blackburn.
Yeah.
People think Shearer's won FA Cups, he's won League Cups, he's won. Oh.
Just the stature of them.
I've got the same medal, I've won a medal as well. Yeah. I've lost one, I've won the FA, I've lost the FA Cup and won the League Cup. I've got a medal like Shearer. Does it matter that much in history that Harry Kane ain't won? And listen, I'd love to. Tottenham got this chance. What they do, Tottenham? Now, I'll tell you what they got to do. They got to let what Ange, Big Ange, I can't say his second name.
Postecoglou.
Him. Bless you. Yeah. So, Big Ange, whatever Big Ange wants, that's what Tottenham have got to do. Now, do you take the risk? Keep Harry Kane. Okay, lose 90 million. But if Harry Kane wins something this year, if Tottenham win the League Cup or the FA Cup, Harry Kane stays and he's there for life. If he goes, he's got £100 million to spend.
Mm.
It's gamble. Tottenham got to do what they've got to do.
Harry Kane, Tottenham ain't winning. Harry Kane wins everything. And in the future, everyone will go, Harry Kane, and go, what a player he was. Because no one's going to beat his England record.
No.
It'd be impossible now.
I said that about Lineker and Rooney, so you never know.
I don't know, just from this argument, just shut him up.
Yeah.
He's never going to get beaten, is he, Harry Kane?
He's Chelsea, remember he's Chelsea. How difficult?
Oh, he could go Chelsea, Poch.
That would be the one.
That, you can't do that, can
Chelsea,
you?
Tottenham,
do you, not, do you not think the Tottenham-Chelsea hostility is too strong?
Good word.
Is it not?
I hope not. I'd hate to see Chelsea do well. Because you're sat here. No, I'd rather him go abroad than spoil his... What's his word?
Tottenham legacy.
Legacy. Yeah. His legendary status. Mm. Would he... I don't think he would. I think other players would. I think if you weren't such a goal scorer, if you was a midfield player or a centre-half, full-backs, and they come a-calling, then I think you could do that. Mm. I think Harry Kane, I don't think he would. And would Levy let it?
No.
Levy let him go there? Would no. Levy go? See, I can't... We won't go to them. That, you know, them, that red team across the park.
No chance.
Begins with A. You can't go there. I don't want to go Man United because I won't be able to like him anymore.
Yeah.
Because playing for Liverpool.
Mm.
I'd love to see him at Liverpool, but they won't buy him. They don't need him. But Real Madrid, can Real Madrid fold him now? Bellingham.
Mbappe potentially as well.
Mbappe goes, he won't go PSG. Yeah. Well, saying that, PSG's only 2 hours away.
Mate, it could
you
know,
you get a train, you get a train from London.
You can leave the kids and wife home.
We're talking all about this, lads. We're talking every scenario, but nothing in football would surprise me.
Yeah.
You've obviously
nothing
moved,
in
you know.
Football would surprise me.
Yeah. You know, when it all comes to an end,
yeah.
Does that become so? When it ended for you, West Ham was a final. No, Palace.
Swindon.
Yeah.
Was that an easy thing to cope with?
No. Well, it was. I thought it'd be great. Couldn't wait to put my feet up. 2 months into that, what happened? My problem was, I loved a drink, and in football. The discipline, you have to be disciplined. Obviously, you can't play professional football, quite simple. But if I had the chance to go out, I went out. And when I finished, I had no discipline had gone. I had no one telling me where I had to go. Because when you're playing football, you're told where to be, at what time, certain day, do this, not allowed to do that. 2 days before a game, we was never allowed to go out shopping. You weren't allowed to pick the kids up, especially at Liverpool. If I'm seen on a Thursday or Friday picking the kids up in Tesco's, week's wages, fine. So you always had that discipline. So when that discipline stopped, oh, this is great. And all of a sudden, it just spiraled out of control. And me drinking, I was going out for 3-4 days on end, you know, I had loads of money, I had fortunes, and I'd meet people. I'd go in a pub on my own, and I'd start talking to people, because everyone knew me, they'd come up to me, I'd kidnap them. I'd pay for their, come at me, you ain't got to pay a thing. I'd pay for everything. I'd pay for a hotel if we went somewhere. And I'd go to Dublin, just get on a plane to Dublin. Stayed it for 3 days, you know, thinking, my wife, she'll understand. I've been so disciplined, I'll buy a new Rolex or something, and she'll understand. I'll get a new car, she'll know. Yeah. But they don't, you know, and ended up in rehab.
How soon after? Drinking.
Oh, 2 years, 1.5 years, weren't long. But then, as I say, it was drinking, went out of control, but... What I've learned, what back then, looking back, experience is wasted on old drunks. You know what I mean? Well, someone told me, experience is wasted. You'll get it one day. And I do get it, because I'd always let my family down, but I would never let my mates down. Do you know? Mm. And that was through with football, because I actually, what the lads do is football, you're in a team.
Yeah.
But I took it outside football, when I finished football. And I'd always let my family down and always let my mate, not let my mates down. And... I've learnt that now, but as I say, because of experience. Now, in my life now, as soon as I close that door, whatever's outside don't mean nank to me. Whoever's in my house now, they mean so well to me. So I have learnt, but as I say, it was just pure discipline and not being told where to be. And I thought, this is great. And it weren't great. It was a nightmare.
Do you think football doesn't help footballers enough?
Maybe now. I can't speak for him now. I don't know.
Your time.
Oh, no chance. You know, if you was down in the dumps, you know, you're down. Because if I had a bad day at work, the world knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I had a bad day, you got no... How do you cope with that? Getting booed and shouted at and on the street, people... I used to get death threats when I was playing. If I'd kicks, I'd get death threats. When I was at Liverpool, I used to get bullets through the post with razor written on them. You used to get the police in. Like, it was big, bright police coming and taking live ammunition. I used to have death threats. You know, I had a stalker, this girl stalker, and this little lady, and she ended up in a hospital, you know, being sectioned. That. It was just, my life was mad, and, you know, and people don't know where your kids go to school. So I had all this pressure, and then you have a nightmare, And then you're getting booed, you're getting slaughtered in the papers, live on telly, you had nightmare. And you had no help, no.
Yeah.
It was a case of grow a pair and get on with it.
You know, when you went into rehab, did your former clubs help at all? Were they involved?
This is when I retired. No, the PFA.
The PFA. PFA,
Professional Football Association. I went in Tony Adams.
Yeah.
Right.
Tony Adams place down in Hook in Surrey, way.
Yeah.
But Sporting Chance, it was called. No, the PFA paid for me.
Right.
Because, you know, it's like, if you're drowning, you put your hand up, didn't you? Mm. Ask for help. When your life's spiraling out of control, you don't ask for help because men, we're too proud and we've been taught, you know, back then, grow up there, get on with it. Everyone's got problems. And you just get deeper and deeper and deeper in depression. I don't like the word depression. I like to have down in the dumps.
Mm.
But I could see no way out, you know, and the only way I could see it was getting drunk because I call it mad, bad, sad and glad syndrome. When I was mad, I got drunk. Mad, bad, sad and glad. Every emotion I had, what'd you do?
Get drunk.
Mm. I thought that was my answer to everything because I didn't have the education or I didn't have the... I'm nearly sworn in. I didn't have the balls to speak out and ask for help. It's like men today. If we're driving around, right, and you drive around in your car and you get a noise or something, your car starts, what'd you do? Straight to the mechanic, get it mended, pay money. If we're feeling bad, we won't go to the doctor that costs nothing in case he tells us bad news and we can't go to the pub next week or we can't go golfing to Marbella with the lads.
Yeah.
That's how mentally we are weak.
Yeah. So what would your take from that be? That back then, when he first realised that things were getting a bit out of control, that you should have then asked for help?
I thought I was alone. I thought I was the only one with problems. I'm a drink too much, you know, I'm down, you know, no one likes me anymore, you know. And I didn't realise it's okay to say, I'm not good. Do you know what I mean? It's a sign of weakness, especially I was big razor.
I was just about to say that, you're the guy, the big tough man
in the dressing room.
Mm, yeah.
You know, I had a problem, you know, I was always a go-between the manager and the lads. If the lads had a problem, I'd say, what's the matter, mate? He'd tell me, and I'd go to Gaffer. If I had problems, I didn't have that go-between.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell the gaffer because he'd think I'm weak and I wouldn't be the go-between. I wouldn't be the top man in the dressing room anymore. Because the hero in the dressing rooms when I was playing was the best drinker and the man who went out with the girls and the best womanizer, whatever. Womanizer, nice way of putting it. The best womanizer, best drinker was a hero in the dressing room. It wasn't the best player in the dressing room.
Mm.
You know, so, but we didn't have no help. We didn't have any, just a case of get on. And back then, if club didn't want you're gone. So you didn't want to upset the manager. Managers rule my life. Now, players rule managers' lives.
Yeah.
In my day, he ruled my life. I had to be good to him. I had to do everything he said. I didn't want to upset him because if he sells me, I've got to go and sell my house, uproot my kids, move away from, you know, down the other part of the country. Now, players rule managers' lives.
Yeah.
It's completely changed.
Just moments ago, you were talking about sort of the loyalty that you displayed to your teammates. You would always, at times, by your own admission, they're prioritised friends.
Yeah, all day long.
Was that reciprocated when things were going wrong for you? Did your friends within the game...
I hid it well. People didn't know. I was always happy and go-lucky and... Always hid, you know. I was down in the dumps, and I think it did affect my performances. You know, it did affect me. I didn't, you know. I felt I was really, really confident. You know, I always knew my ability, knew what I was good at. And then I was going in the game, sort of last 5 years of my career, like going in the game, thinking, "Oh, please don't have a nightmare." Now I'm thinking about it. Well, I've never ever thought of that.
Yeah.
You know, don't have a nightmare. Please don't have a nightmare. For two reasons, I'm going to get slaughtered. And if we lose, I can't go out tonight and get drunk.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So that is crazy in itself. You know, I was very, very confident. But when things go against you, you didn't know you had to stand alone.
Did you?
And as I say, I had to hide it because I was Razor. You know, it's like now, if Razor Ruddock wants to go out and get drunk, I don't go out with him because he's... bit crazy. Neil Ruddock wants to go out and get a drink, I'll go out with him because he's all right. That's how my mind is. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because people, people want to see Razor. They don't want to see Neil Ruddock. They want to see Razor. Hello, Razor. Yeah. All this. So I don't do that anymore. If he wants to go, I don't go out. I'll go out as Neil Ruddock.
Do you look at players now and sort of see some players going down slippery slopes with that? There's been a lot of talk in the last couple Dele of weeks Alli. About Jack Grealish.
Dele Alli. Jack, no, I think Jack. I think he's
and,
he's,
and the drink
he's,
and stuff.
He's still young enough, and I think if it was going, if it was during the season, he got. I mean, a few years ago when he drink driving and smashed his Range Rover into parked cars and all that. You know what I mean? So. I mean, he's learned, he's grown up since then. But the thing is, how many other players are doing it? Because he's Jack Grealish, there's cameras everywhere because he's Jack Grealish and he plays for Man City. They've just won the treble. You know, other players do it. But I think the best thing to do it is not hide it. When he goes out.
Yeah, true.
Not hide it. Obviously, he's drunk. They was holding him up because he's just won the treble.
Yeah.
But don't hide away, because if when you hide away, that's when people want to follow you around. And, you know, listen. If he weren't behaving himself and looking after his body, he wouldn't be starting for Manchester City. Because you can't not behave yourself and look after your body and play elite football now if you weren't behaving yourself. So, in life, listen, there's so many ups and downs and bad things that happen in life. When you do good things, you've got to celebrate, surely.
Yeah, no, you're right, you've got to celebrate. People have made the comparison with Gazza and him, but right, it's just... what people do. Yeah. How did you sort of make the big U-turn? Neil, obviously, looking at you, you're healthy, you're fit now.
I went to, I said, rehab some years and years ago. I got married now. Leanne, my wife now, she's my drinking partner now. You know, if I have a drink, I drink at home or we go to a nice restaurant. You know, I don't need that waking up every morning or you're not bad. During COVID, I put loads of weight on. I only put, this is how mad it is. I was 27 stone. I got up to my biggest.
That's crazy. That's huge.
But at the time, during COVID, I thought, I'll be all right. I'm going to diet next week. But then I went to see the surgeon who had the gastric sleeve operation eventually. But I went to see him and he said, well, last sort of 10 years, what was it, worked it out? I can't remember. But it was only, I've only put like £7 on a year. It was like, I think that's quite easy, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you do it year by year.
Adds up.
You don't realise.
Yeah.
Because you ain't put like 10 stone on bang.
Yeah.
And when you put it on gradually, it's just people don't realise. And it's in your head, oh, I can lose it, I lose it. But it just takes, it spirals out of control. And then I was playing at a charity football. I wasn't playing because I couldn't have 27 stone. Went to a charity football match in Eltham, South London. And I see James Argent out of The Only Way Is Essex.
Yeah. Putting a bit of weight as well, didn't he?
And he was massive. And then I see him, he was like that. He was like, he'd lost 13 stone. And he told me about the gastric sleeve, so that was it. Boom, rang my missus, got hold of him. She spoke to Arj, got me the surgeon, Dr. Stevenson. And I was in, within 3 months, I went in and had it done. And that was September the 8th when the Queen died, God bless her. I'm right, operation the same day, and I lost just under 9 stone now.
Congratulations.
Gosh, so, but I was killing myself, basically. Oh, it's made up. The kids have got their dads back now. Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't even go on holiday because I thought it was too much walking. That airport. Have you seen that? Gatwick. Have you seen how long it is? It's easy jet. Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't go on holiday. I'd say, we're still over here. We're going on holiday. That's how lazy. Do you know what I mean? But that's how mentally disturbed and strange I was. You know, I would make my kids go without a holiday abroad because I couldn't be bothered to walk 100 yards here and there. Yeah. How mad is that? It's crazy, isn't it?
Does that sleeve work? It stops you overeating, doesn't it?
I've got the sleeve, which is they took 70% of my stomach away.
Right. So has that ruined your enjoyment of...
That's gone. So 70% of my stomach's gone. I can eat anything I want. Can't eat a lot. I can't eat a lot.
Right.
But I enjoy my food now than when I was
eating
everything. Because I can eat anything I want. I can eat cream cakes. I can eat kebabs.
Yeah.
I can have pie and mash. But I can only have half a pie. A little bit. But I still get the satisfaction and the taste.
Yeah.
I still go to the Indian restaurant with my mates, all the free dishes. I can only have a mouthful of each.
Yeah.
I'd say it's £60 worth. I eat like £3.50 worth. But, but that's I get £60 worth of satisfaction. I still get the taste. And I still get the satisfaction. So, I mean, it's a great thing. My knees don't hurt anymore. I can get around. Yeah, but most important than that, I'm happy now, you know.
You seem in a really good place.
I'm in a great place. But it takes something like... The doctor said, listen, 3 months, you'll be dead. I had a pacemaker fitted before that. So I've done Harry's Heroes. I was running around, I felt all dizzy, and It's 3 years before COVID. How long was COVID?
What, that Harry's here? I remember that series. Show. Is that where that happened?
So I was doing that, and I went all dizzy, and I thought, because at the time it's kind of like dementia with footballers, ex-footballers. I thought, oh, no. So I kept going dizzy, and I think, oh, no, because I used to head a lot of footballs. Yeah. There was a lot of debate going on at the moment.
It's funny, as you say that. Sorry to cut across. Remember the head of the big header you scored for Liverpool?
United,
after United, and it looked like you were saying you had a headache then.
Pallister.
Oh, is that what it was?
Pallister
me
down. So, so I used to whack heads. I mean, got scars all everywhere. I used to bang. I used to get, if I had a cut, I used to try and rip it open and say, look better and more blood. I'd squeeze me blood, you know what I mean? It's everywhere. I'd squeeze it so it looked like Terry Butcher. Do you know what I mean? Oh, look at me, I'm hurt. So I was getting dizzy, so I thought, oh no, you know, heading balls. It was just come out of papers and things, you know, dementia about the older players, God bless them. Good luck to all the older players, by the way. And so I went to see a specialist. He said, oh, it's not dementia. He went, it's your heart. I went, oh, thank God for that. Oh, it's only my arm. Oh, jeez. I was like, he said, no, Ray, he said, you carry on too much, you'll be dead. He said, your heart at the moment is 78-year-old man's heart at the minute, the way I was drinking and eating too much. 78-year-old man. He said, but we got it, you know. So in the end, I had to stop my heart because it was beating at 140 a minute, my heart rate, which is doing a marathon. A marathon. And that was just sat down. Resting was 140. Now it's 60. But what they had to do is stop my heart and then
pump it again, push it, start
stand
again.
Back. I can't remember the procedures called. So basically, they killed me to
keep your life.
Keep me alive again. So my heart rejigged, and then I got a pacemaker. Pacemakers for you know, when you're asleep. Because you know when you're asleep, you know when you jump.
Yeah.
That's your heart stopping.
Is that what that is?
That's your heart stopping, right? Everyone does
it. I do that
everyone
a lot. Yeah.
And everyone does it. It's not a thing, but your body will make you think you've fallen off a cliff. So you wake up, and your heart starts again.
Bloody
so your heart will stop. Everyone's here in this room, heart will stop 3 seconds a night. Mine will stop in 8 seconds, in 8 second blocks. So I'll die in 8 seconds. So you'll go 3 seconds, but that's normal, 3 seconds. Yeah. So that's why I have a pacemaker now, so it just keeps in.
Yeah. And how's that? Is that all going
to yes, it's great. It's great.
So.
But that was through Harry Zeros. If I would have done Harry Zeros, I'd have mostly been dead. Simple. Through drinking.
The moral to every issue that we've discussed, it's seeking help, isn't it?
Go and guard yourself. Yeah. Go to the doctor every 6 months and just, am I all right? Have a blood test. Yeah, you're all right. Go on, go enjoy yourself for 6 months. Yeah.
A conversation. It costs nothing. A conversation about the gastric band, a conversation about the pacemaker, gastric sleeve, forgive me. Conversation about the gastric sleeve, a conversation about the pacemaker, and a conversation about the mental health.
Mine was all down to drink. Couldn't wait to give up. Thought I'd have the lifestyle.
Do you think you were ever an alcoholic?
I mean, I'd done 30, when I was in Rio, about to do 30 meetings in 30 days, and I don't think I was. You know, I was just excited.
Can you drink now without wanting more?
I can stop.
We've tested it now. Because we're in a pub.
I was a binge alcoholic. They said I was a binge alcoholic. I think experience is... I was just excitable.
Yeah.
I wanted to say, oh, this is great. I'm retired and this go and get... No one's telling me. Yeah. And a bit of anti-authority because I had no one telling me off and I weren't getting fined and I can do this. This is great. You know, and it just got hold of me. And, you know, and then I got mad, bad, sad, glad syndrome. So when I was mad, bad, sad, and glad, whatever situation I was in, how do I get out of it? Go and get drunk. And I had fortunes of money around me.
Yeah.
So it's
a combination.
I weren't hurting anyone because I just treat my missus and, you know, if I hurt, you know, upset
young,
anyone.
Famous, rich.
Yeah.
And lucky I went into gambling.
Thank God for that. Yeah. As we wrap, going back to football, obviously, look, you played for a lot of big teams. Who do you associate with the most? Like, what games are you looking out for 3 o'clock on a Saturday?
I suppose Liverpool, because that's
good answer.
I love me Tottenham. Yeah. I do love me Tottenham. When Tottenham play Liverpool, whoever need the points at the time, I want them to be there. You know.
Yeah.
But I think because I was Liverpool nearly 6 years, you know, so you know other clubs I was there 1 or 2 years, but you know I'm loved up there. Great place to live. Enjoy myself there.
Did you go up at all?
That's where you earn the most money.
It's funny because I
made my ex-wife a millionaire. I always go up there. I mean, all my friends, my close friends are there. So no, I enjoy it. But I go Tottenham, I go West Ham, I go to all of them. I always back all my teams I play for. I back them on the accumulator.
Do you?
Every week. Ain't come in 10 years. She has not come in. They've that. Never all won in 10
get,
years.
Get rid of the Millwall one.
No, they're the ones that saved me last year with Tottenham. Yeah. Tottenham had let Tottenham me down last ones, year. Yeah.
It's funny, as we wrap, because I listened to the Robbie Fowler podcast. Not, he doesn't do it anymore, but it's a great podcast. And he mentions you as like the biggest prankster ever. But because you're also so big, not much he could do about it.
No. As I say, I was so not happy at times that I used to have to do things to make myself laugh and everyone else laugh. So. Mm. But as I say, I was always a prankster. And as I say, that's what Razor Ruddock, he ain't wired up right, but Neil Ruddock's all right, so I'm Neil Ruddock now.
Honestly, been great having you, Neil.
Hey, pleasure. Hope Chelsea don't do nothing.
They won't.
Come on, you mighty Reds. I wish Chelsea all the best.
Thank you,
Neil Razor Ruddock. Bloody, thank you very much. What a good story. As always, thank you for tuning into the Men's Room podcast. Make sure you download the podcast from wherever you download it from. And if you are watching this on YouTube, do us a favour. Like it, share it, leave a comment. Me and Rory will jump in to the comment section as we always do. And we'll see you on another episode of the Men's Room podcast.
ToolStation are the proud sponsors of the Men's Room podcast on TalkSport. Join the ToolStation Club today online, in-store or via the app, and you will save some money getting a 5% discount shopping with ToolStation, as well as a chance to get your hands on some fantastic prizes such as TVs, gaming consoles and even holidays. If all that isn't enough, then remember, if you sign up, then you will get loads of exclusive discounts that aren't available anywhere else. That's the ToolStation Club, so make sure you join today, online, in-store, or via the app.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.